It's Friday, December 9th. We've got a very big storm coming tomorrow, Saturday, here in Northern California, and giving us a very exciting start to the rain year here in Northern California, where we've been suffering from an extremely dry drought situation for several years now. But it's going to take a lot more storms like this in order to recover our reservoirs from their very dry current condition. Let's go inside and see what's going on. We've had a good start to the rain season this year. According to the high-tech Blanco Lirio spreadsheet off of the Blanco Lirio backyard rain gauge, of course, California Mediterranean climate, no rain throughout the summer. And then here at the beginning of November, throughout the month of November, 5.75 inches, nothing in October. And then 7 inches to date already so far for the month of December with this new storm coming in this weekend. But here we can see from the CDEC, or California Data Exchange Center, that all of our reservoirs here in Northern and Central California are well below even historical average. So the current level is shown in blue, the historical average, the green line. And we are low, low, low. It's going to take a lot of water to refill these reservoirs. Only here locally, Bullard's Bar is at or near its historical average. Here's a recent flight over Oroville Reservoir in the Husky just a couple weeks ago, where the reservoir had bottomed out at its lowest elevation, about 658 feet. Just enough water to continue to keep the Hyatt power plant in operation. Remember, the top of the emergency spillway here at Oroville is 900 feet. So 250 some odd feet to go before they fill up this reservoir. Of course, we're in flood season now, so we'll explain more about that in a moment. Here's the rebuilt spillway right here. They've got done terracing around the rebuilt spillway. There's the new emergency spillway off to the left. They are continuing to do work here on the spillway, hidden right behind the strut now, unfortunately, where they're rebuilding the gates. They had to reverse engineer the actual gates, the steel gates that open and close there at the spillway. So they tore out one old gate, got all the dimensions, rebuilt it, and then they're going ahead and rebuilding all of those gates. There's the Hyatt power plant at the base of Oroville Dam, the Earthfield Dam. Look, there's still even a bit of a green spot there on the dam, even though there hadn't been water at that green spot level for a long, long time. And again, most of this area behind the reservoir back here was burned in the Dixie Fire and subsequent fires. A couple other points of interest for those of you that are kind of new to the whole Oroville update scene here on Blanco Lirio Channel. That is the intake structure to the Hyatt power plant. When the reservoir is full, they can control the temperature of the water going through the Hyatt power plant and thus downstream. Over here was an attempt to create another tunnel, either for an additional power plant or an additional spillway, but that was given up on many years ago. And of course, here's the entrance to the main spillway here. Of course, Oroville Reservoir and Shasta Lake are the two main reservoirs to contain water for all of Northern and Southern California, where the water is conveyed through a series of rivers and canals, some of it reaching all the way down to Southern California. Oroville Reservoir Watershed, of course, takes advantage of the Three Forks of the Feather River system, and most of these reservoirs use the runoff of the snow stored in the High Sierra each winter to fill up each springtime. And the other main reason for these dams is flood control. Without these major dams, major parts of the Central Valley would be uninhabitable due to persistent and consistent flooding. Some of the other features downstream of the Oroville Dam include the Thermalito Diversion Pool located right here. Here's the diversion dam where some of the water is diverted into a forebay and an after bay, where this water is heated by the sun in relatively shallow water and is used by rice farmers through here in Northern California. And then that water is returned back into the Feather River where it continues its journey downstream. Looking at the Oroville Reservoir Lakes online level information, the current level here at about 658 feet, 659, shown in blue for 2022, the water level is just beginning to start creeping back up at Oroville Reservoir. Kind of a late start on getting the water level to rise. Now, being in the flood control season means that they will allow this water level to rise. We're showing 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, almost 6 years worth of data here. They'll allow the water level to rise up to about 850 feet. Remember, the top of the reservoir is 900 feet, where that emergency spillway is, 901 feet. They'll allow the water level to rise up to 850 feet. They want to keep that water level at about 850 feet until the flood season passes by. And then as the rains season slows down, they'll allow the runoff from the snowfall of the High Sierra to continue to raise the elevation, raise the water level in the reservoir up to 900 feet and allow it to top off somewhere around the June or July time frame, and then repeat the cycle where they use the water all summer long and then wait for the rain and snow to return the next year. But each year in the last couple of years, here's, by the way, here's 2017 when the spillway blew out. They were flood controlling it here at 850 feet and the spillway blew out and bam, it over topped the emergency spillway at over 900 feet. And then they were kind of able to emergency control it back down to 850 feet and then rebuild the spillway in between the two flood years, an amazing engineering feat covered on this channel. But in the years since 2017, we've had less and less rain and the reservoir and snow, and the reservoir has not been allowed to refill. 2019, we got it topped off on 2019, but ever since, we have not been able to refill the reservoir. And one of the main problems is that we're getting more rain than snow. Because we're getting more rain than snow these days, engineers are having to re-engineer the spillway and flood control capability of these major reservoirs, and they've done a major retrofit here on Folsom Reservoir outside of Sacramento. Primarily for flood control reasons, they've added a whole second spillway slightly lower than the original spillway. Now, Folsom Dam is a concrete dam, so the original spillway goes right over the top of the concrete dam, but they've added the secondary spillway here slightly lower so they can allow more water out quicker in advance of large storms coming in with the advances in weather forecasting capability. And they're also using hurricane hunters when these monster rainstorms start coming into Northern California to help predict how big these storms are going to be, so that flood control managers can let enough water out of the reservoir quickly to prevent it from overfilling or flooding anything downstream. If you can let more water out sooner, you don't have to let out a whole ton of water all at once and potentially flood folks downstream from your extreme water runoff from your old spillway. Here's another view of that secondary spillway located right here. While it was under construction, this spillway is now completed. And of course, here's the original spillway located right here over the concrete dam. And there's the power plant. So greater control during flood control conditions of these reservoirs by having multiple spillways. It's like having a multi-engine engine, a multi-engine airplane. It also gives you the redundancy of just exactly what happened at Oroville. What if you have a problem with the main spillway and you can't use it? Well, you got a backup. In the meantime, in the forests here in central and the southern Sierra, it's estimated that fully 30% of the forest has been lost to disease, beetle blight, drought, dry conditions, forest mismanagement, all of these different reasons. And this is what it looks like now flying over the forest. This is just north of Forest Hill. We're going to go take a look at the Mosquito Fire, our largest fire here in our local region this year. But this is what the forests look like. And to me, this represents primarily overcrowding of trees. And this is nature's way of responding to these dry conditions. This is not a burned area. It's a dead area. And you can see it all throughout in the distance here. And this is about the 4,000 foot elevation. Too many trees too close together. And in the end, it might be that this will burn, and that in the end may very well be the best case solution to the problem. It's not a good solution, but if you're not going to manage these forests, they're going to burn. And let's go look at this mosquito fire that happened just a few miles south of this point. Here, now we're getting to the edge of the Mosquito Fire in the American River Canyon, the middle fork of the American River Canyon area. About 70,000 acres. The fire was kept primarily down in the canyon, and the fire was allowed to come up to the top and the edge of the canyon. That's the only way to safely fight a fire, is up at the top of the canyon rather than getting down in the canyon. And you can see these little islands of green in some of the littler villages or communities that were spared in the middle of the burned area. There's looking east where the fire just burned up the American River drainages. Looking back to the west. This is Mosquito Ridge Road. This was a premier, well, it still is a premier motorcycle, paved motorcycle road for miles and miles and miles up to some reservoirs up in the high country. Beautiful, twisty conditions with no traffic. It's all in the middle of the burned section, the devastated area of the Mosquito Fire. Here you can see some old hydraulic diggings from the Gold Rush days up in here. There's the bridge over the American River. I think that's the middle fork. But let's go back, and here's a good example of where the fire is brought up to the edge of the canyon and then stopped at the edge of the canyon, the only safe place to stop the fire. The Mosquito Fire was started by, once again, another PG&E power pole shorting out for some reason right down here at the Oxbow portion of the American River. And caught this little ridge on fire right here. S2 air tankers from the Grass Valley Air Attack Base, located just some 10, 15 miles away, were able to get down in this canyon and make a couple of initial drops. This lit off very late in the day, so they were able to get a couple drops off before sunset, but the fire crept around those retardant drops and escaped on up this canyon, and it was off to the rodeo. 70 plus thousand acres later. And then remember the one day where the fire got going and hit the town of Forest Hill very, very hard. This is just shows just how close this fire got to the town of Forest Hill, located right here. But only through an unprecedented aerial attack of hundreds of thousands of gallons of retardant that were laid down right on the edge of Forest Hill here, was this fire prevented from going into and destroying the town. Just right up to the edge. And of course, Forest Hill is located right on the edge of the canyon. There's the high school located right there. Wharton's Market located up here, where we all start our Get a sandwich for our motorcycle rides up Mosquito Ridge Road. Just very, very close call for the town of Forest Hill. This fire was skunking around down in here somewhere, and it got a good bit of wind on one day, and it eddied around and started going up these little draws heading up into the town of Forest Hill. Right up to the edge there. There it is, right along the edge. The state of California was basically designed to burn. Here is a data fire perimeter map going all the way back to 1898. So over 100 years old, showing all the different fires that have burned throughout California and reburned and burned again. Unless you're living in Death Valley or the Central Valley, you're gonna be subject to fire. Now this goes up to 2021, so this whole area around Lake Almanor has now been blackened out by the Dixie Fire, over 1 million acres. So that island has all been recently burned out. And this Mosquito Fire located down here by Forest Hill, there's Placerville. Forest Hill located right in here. This island of green was most recently burned out by the Dixie Fire, where it bumped into the King Fire right over here. Now, we live in this little island of green right here in the Grass Valley, Nevada City area that has not burned in over 100 years. Here's what it looks like at present over the Grass Valley, Nevada City area. We're over Grass Valley looking to the northeast. There's the Sierra Buttes up there. Nevada City is located down in this valley over here. Here's the Grass Valley, Nevada County Airport, and there's Banner Mountain, very near the Blanco Lirio Global World headquarters, all of which has not burned in over 100 years. But right here in our backyard, Grandma's backyard, located just four doors down, half-acre lot, we lost five trees, died suddenly last summer, cedar and Doug fir. And inside these cedar trees, I had them sectioned down, hired a logger to section down the trees. Inside of those trees, it was just hollow and filled with ants. So these trees are stuck in the backyard. I got no way of getting heavy equipment back in there to get these trees out of there. So I'm having to section them up and roll this wood out of the backyard. Fortunately, I was able to borrow a steel 500 MS-500i fuel injected chainsaw. I'll do a separate video and a short update on this amazing new fuel injected chainsaw. Made short work of cutting these rounds up. Come and get it. Most of it's already gone. Folks have just rolled right up and taken this stuff out of here. Because I have no use for this much wood. We're all gas burning fireplaces here. And the slash, we were able to burn dry, dead slash on a very hot, virtually smoke-free fire. Small fire, just keep feeding it a little bit at a time with Pete the fireman, keeping it under control. Now that I got the cedars out of there, I think I'd like to try and Alaska mill some of these Doug fir. I've got three or four, five sections of huge Doug fir that I'd like to mill up for timbers and have our local Nevada County Narrow Gauge Railroad use them for the rebuild of some historic boxcars. Here's the old boxcar project they got going on down at the Nevada County Narrow Gauge Railroad Museum with the steam locomotive. There's the crew. Good work, guys. My neighbor, who's got 100 acres right near the airport, has got himself a $125,000 curtain burner and is burning all the slash and down trees on his property, cleaning up his property faster, more efficiently, and probably cleaner than chipping it all up. I'll do a separate update on this curtain burner. Amazing piece of equipment. And then finally, in another personal drought related piece of news, she's back. Remember Morning Mist, the 1980 Catalina 22 sailboat that spent so much time in my backyard and we enjoyed sailing here on the Scotts Flat Reservoir? Well, I'd sold it a couple years ago, but the gal I sold it to had it in Sonoma Lake, and that lake is basically dried up and unable to use the sailboat. She'd done some nice upgrades to the Morning Mist, so I went ahead and bought it back from her. So when I went down to pick the boat back up there at Lake Sonoma, this is what the status of the marina looked like. It's, the lake is drying up. It's, the marina's moved into the middle of the channel there. And there's very little lake left to go sailing on. The water's just getting lower and lower and lower. I was concerned about being able to get down this low on the boat ramp as it goes all the way into the dirt and get it out with the truck, but she got fetched right out of the water, no problem. So I got new pilot Zach Moultrie doing his magic on detailing and bringing the morning mist back to her former glory. So thanks so much for your support of this channel, especially the folks over on Patreon that make this content possible. Back over Forest Hill in the 310. We'll see you here.